Welcome to this Forthright Radio for August 2nd, 2017. I'm Joy LeClaire. We have a very full show for you today. We have Jay Riestenberg of Common Cause with us. We begin with a quote from an article from 2015 headlined, American Legislative Exchange Council unanimously votes to adopt Convention of States resolution language, with the subheading, just 228 years ago, Colonel George Mason suggested that Article 5 be added to the U.S. Constitution as a legal recourse for the American people. It was unanimously adopted by convention delegates in Philadelphia. Well, just what is Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, and why should we spend a whole hour discussing it? To answer these questions, we reached out to Common Cause, the nonpartisan grassroots organization dedicated to upholding the core values of American democracy. They say they work to create open, honest, and accountable government that serves the public interest, promote equal rights, opportunity, and representation for all, and empower all people to make their voices heard in the political process. Founded with 4,000 core members in 1970 to serve as a people's lobby, Common Cause has grown into a nationwide network of more than 900,000 members and supporters, with offices in 35 states and Washington, D.C. Quote, to make our democracy work, we must claim it as our own, end of quote. That was John Gardner. He was the founder of Common Cause, and he was also the Republican Secretary of HEW, that's Health, Education, and Welfare, under the Democrat President, LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson. He went on to write, quote, the citizen can bring our political and governmental institutions back to life, make them responsive, and keep them accountable, and keep them honest. No one else can, end of quote. Well, they did get off to a good start. The very next year, 1971, Common Cause led the successful drive for passage of the 26th Amendment, lowering the voting age to 18. So why are they adamantly opposed to an Article 5 constitutional convention? Here to explain their position and the situation we face is Jay Riestenberg. He's the campaigns and states media strategist for Common Cause. He develops and manages Common Cause's daily rapid response messages, national campaign communication strategies, and Common Cause's work on the American Legislative Exchange Council, ALEC, and its push for an Article 5 constitutional convention. Jay also coordinates and supports state communication strategy and represents Common Cause in coalition on democracy reforms. His work has been featured in way too many venues to say them all, but here's a few. Washington Post, Reuters, Politico, The Hill, NPR, Al Jazeera American, The Atlantic, Salon, The San Francisco Chronicle, and The Patriot News. That isn't even half of the places. But anyway, I'll leave it there. We welcome you to Forthright Radio, Jay Riestenberg.
Thank you for having me, Joy. It's good to be on.
Jay, before we proceed, I think it's good that we know what Article 5 says. It's one paragraph long, and it deals with ways to amend the Constitution. It's a little dense, so I urge listeners to listen closely. It deals with two methods of amending the Constitution. The first is most familiar, where amendments originate in Congress. It's the second method we'll be focusing on today, when it originates in the state legislatures. And this has never happened since the very first Constitutional Convention began in 1787. Here it is, Article 5. The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which in either case shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution when ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states, or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, and that no state, without its consent, shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. And there we have it. Jay Riesenberg, Common Cause, says they're trying to promote the voice of the people. Why are they organizing against this?
Well, Joy, I can tell you that the current calls for a constitutional convention promoted by the Koch brothers and other wealthy special interests on the right really are not trying to promote the voices of the people. They're trying to promote their own interests and rid the rules farther out of the public interest into their own corporate welfare.
I recall soon after the decision by the Supreme Court in Citizens United, there was quite a call for a citizens' convention to try to change the decision by the Supreme Court. Is Common Cause against such a thing as that?
Well, Common Cause has blanket policy against any constitutional convention. You mentioned the term citizen commission or citizen convention, and really there's no such thing. How it would work is if any particular call for a convention got to 34 states calling for it, it would likely be state legislators picking delegates. And in this political environment where 32 state legislatures are completely controlled by Republicans, it's very unlikely that a constitutional convention today would do anything proactive or good on money and politics or voting rights. In fact, I think they would make it worse. They would put what the Supreme Court held in Citizens United and Shelby County and some other cases into the Constitution and really take away our vote, take away our voice even more.
In researching for this program, I found it was very hard to understand all the opinions that are out there. But I was kind of surprised that nobody knows what could happen. First of all, it's never been done before. And there are no guidelines, much less rules. Is that your understanding also?
That's absolutely right. And that's the main reason why Common Cause feels that this is such a dangerous way to amend the Constitution. I mean, you read Article 5 of the Constitution, and nowhere in there and nowhere else in the Constitution are there guidelines on how a convention would work. So we really don't know who would pick the delegates, how would special interests be limited in a convention, what rules would be in place, where the convention would be held. It would really be an open box and could really undo a lot of the civil rights and civil liberties protected in the Constitution for the American people. The late Justice Scalia, the late Chief Justice Berger have all urged caution around this issue because there are no rules in a constitutional convention, and really it could become this closed-door meeting where delegates who are not elected by the people, certainly not represented by the people, could go into a convention and literally rewrite the Constitution.
I've even heard that there is no clear authority over the convention, neither the judicial, the legislative, or the executive would have authority. And I've even heard some people claim Congress could be dissolved. Does that seem even possible to you?
Well, what we know is, according to Article 5, 34 state legislatures have to call a convention. It is widely accepted that all 34 applications to call a convention have to be on one issue. And once you get to 34, Congress then has to call a convention. Now, after that, we really don't have any idea on what could happen. If legal disputes over who gets to go to the convention as delegates, whether they're open meetings, what rules the convention, we don't know if Congress will decide those, the delegates will decide those, or even if the Supreme Court or other state courts would decide it. It's really a huge question mark because, as you mentioned, this has never happened before.
You kind of didn't answer the question, though. Would it even be possible that Congress itself could be dissolved?
I think that's a far-fetched idea on what could happen in a constitutional convention, but certainly anything, any part of the Constitution would be up for changing and Congress obviously is established in the Constitution. It's possible. I don't think it's likely.
Prominent among the pieces that have been written calling for such a convention is the balanced budget amendment. Mm-hmm. Talk about that, and would that be such a bad idea?
Sure. So the balanced budget amendment proposal called in Article 5 convention is actually the one application or campaign we are most concerned about, because right now those proponents claim to be at about 27 states, which are just 7 states away from reaching the 34 goal. And they have more than enough Republican-controlled states to pass it in to get to 34. So it is our view that it's very possible that balanced budget amendment proponents could call a convention in the next few years if they pass in enough states. They're pretty close to getting there now, which is why Common Cause has worked with coalition partners to rescind some of these balanced budget amendment calls in states like Maryland and Nevada and Delaware and New Mexico. And so it is a real concern that if you call a convention for a balanced budget amendment, literally anything could be brought up, from voting rights to civil liberties to the Second Amendment could be subject to change. So that in itself is a real scare and danger for our constitutional rights. And on the policy standpoint, the balanced budget amendment itself is a bad policy idea for a number of reasons, to start with the fact that the Constitution was never meant to be a governing document over budget and fiscal issues. So it's really a misuse of what the Constitution was about. Depending on how the balanced budget amendment would be written, we might have a fight in courts, and the federal judiciary is really not equipped to deal with and determine federal fiscal and budget issues. And of course, there's all kinds of problems with the balanced budget amendment from a budgeting standpoint, where it would likely lead to huge cuts to Social Security, to military retirement benefits. It would prevent us from reacting in a natural disaster or a time of war. And it's not like balancing your checkbook at home. Every American family has to balance their own budget. American families have a mortgage, and they have loans like student loans and car loans. And a federal balanced budget amendment, you could have no loans. So if we were ever attacked, there would be no way to raise money to respond, or if there was ever another natural disaster, which certainly there will be with climate change. So it would really hamper our ability as a government and as a country to respond to the needs of the American people.
On the Common Cause website, there is a map showing the 27 states with Article 5 convention applications, and that's applications to the Congress. They have passed their desire to have this convention. Is that right?
That's correct. Those are applications to call a new constitutional convention.
I just want to go through which states they are, and I'm looking at the map. Alaska, Arizona, Utah, Wyoming, Colorado, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and New Hampshire. I am happy to say that an ongoing effort in Montana has been made, which failed. So At this point, anyway, Montana is not in that process. They only need 7 more states, right?
That's correct.
And then Congress will be required to have this potentially anything goes convention, right?
Well, what would likely happen is if they got to 34 states, I think there would be some dispute over whether they are actually at 34. A lot of these applications were passed in the 1970s and 1980s and don't match the exact same language as ones passed in the last few years. So I think there would be some legal disputes there. But if there was an agreed-upon number or agreed upon that they are at 34, it would be on Congress to call a convention, assuming that they would. And then who knows what happens after that, but at some point a convention would happen.
I found the Justice Antonin Scalia quote, "I certainly would not want a constitutional convention. Whoa, who knows what would come out of it, end of quote. There you have it, folks, from the late Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Among the confusing things about this were the different ways in which the states could set up their conventions. Are you able to address that?
Are you talking about state constitutional conventions?
There was the New Mexico method, and I forget which the other state was. Once there was a convention to happen, how they would choose their delegates, I guess that's what it was.
It is assumed that once a convention is called, that it would be the state legislators that would decide who gets to be delegates. That is an assumption. It's certainly nowhere in the Constitution, and there's no legal argument saying it would be the legislators who would choose. But assuming that they do, I think it's safe to say that the convention held today or in the next 5 years or so would really be dominated by one political party, that is the Republican Party, because Republicans do control 32 state legislatures. And so if you think about legislators picking delegates, it would be majority Republican legislators picking a majority of Republican delegates. In fact, in Wisconsin right now, there's a bill called a convention that they're considering, but there's also a companion bill the Wisconsin legislature is considering that would assign delegate picking duties to the governor, the Senate majority leader, and the House speaker. And of course, all three of those people are Republicans. So they're trying to rig the rules even more to make sure only Republicans get to pick who gets to go to the convention.
This whole thing brings up the fact that we often forget that the United States of America is actually not a democracy. It is, in fact, a republic. And this sort of thing really brings that into clarification of what the differences are between a republic and a democracy. And it was intentionally set up that way by the founders. There was a very interesting article recently. The headline is the American Republic built to withstand a malevolent president? We won't get into the president, but the author, Michael Goldfarb, reminds us that, and I'm going to quote here, deep down in his article, however, what the madness, abnormality, or whatever you want to call it, emanating from the White House does draw attention to is the real problem in American politics. The Republicans are no longer a political party, but a political faction, a much more dangerous thing. The danger of factions was recognized at the foundation of the United States. In the Federalist Papers, number 10, a highly influential essay on political theory published in 1787, same year that the Constitutional Convention was convened, James Madison defined faction as, quote, a number of citizens, whether amounting to a minority or a majority of the whole, who are united and actuated by some common impulse of passion or of interest adverse to the rights of other citizens or to the permanent and aggregate interests of the community, end of quote. He goes on to talk about Madison understood that the most dangerous thing that can happen in society is for a group and its political representatives to act as if their view alone represents the nation. This leads them to think that they alone are the nation and the views of those who disagree with them not worthy of consideration. I wonder if you care to respond to those concepts.
I try not to get into the big theoretical debate of whether we're a democracy or a republic. What I think and what we at Common Cause often say is that we actually are not a democracy. Democracy is an idea that we've been working towards for the last 280 years, and we certainly have not reached it yet. And as long as people are not able to vote or their votes are being suppressed, as long as there's big money in politics, as long as there's partisan and racial gerrymandering, we cannot call ourselves a democracy. But one thing to mention specifically about kind of the direction of the Republican Party and President Trump and how this affects the Article 5 convention convention issue is that actually what we've seen is a lot of Republicans, both elected, activists, and just everyday people, understand the concerns about opening up the Constitution to unknown changes. And that's why we've seen a lot of Republican legislators actually reject this idea, even though it's coming from a lot of conservative advocacy groups. So you mentioned Montana. Montana has yet to pass a balanced budget amendment or a convention of states application, in large part thanks to a lot of Republican legislators in Montana not wanting to take the risk of holding this. Just this year in the Idaho Senate, completely controlled by Republicans, a balanced budget amendment resolution to call a convention was voted down. We saw a similar thing happen in the North Carolina House. In the Nevada legislature this year, the entire legislature unanimously rescinded their convention call for a balanced budget amendment. So every Republican and every Democrat. So we really are seeing a lot of bipartisan opposition to call a convention. Republicans and Democrats understand the danger of this threat.
You briefly touched on this before, but are there any other movements beyond or besides the balanced budget amendment approach, or is that really pinpoint focus? One more part of the question. Are all of the 27 states focused on the balanced budget amendment, or are there any other issues that they are working on? So that's two parts.
So the 27 states that you named are states that have passed a resolution calling for an Article 5 convention for a balanced budget amendment. Now, that is just one of the convention campaigns coming out of kind of the right wing and the Republican Party. Another one that we're very concerned about and watch closely is a thing called the Convention of States, which has more ties to the Tea Party and has a lot more funding and is very new, only a few years old, which has passed in 12 states. And what the Convention of States does is they kind of take the balanced budget amendment and expand it. So they want to call a convention to put fiscal limits on the federal government, to restrain the power of the federal government, and to put term limits for members of Congress and the judiciary. And we see this as even more of a danger because, one, they aren't very specific with what amendments they want, but their language shows and their communication shows that they want to overturn Supreme Court cases around abortion and marriage equality and health care. They want to take the balanced budget amendment and implement it, but also require completely change the way our government works, and certainly not for the better, by requiring states to have approval if Congress raises taxes. Really, we don't use the words lightly, but really rewrite the Constitution. So that's another push on the right. And you did mention at the beginning of the program, there is a push by a very small number of money and politics activists to call a convention to overturn Citizens United and deal with money and politics campaign finance. Common Cause has been dedicated since its founding in the 1970s to change our campaign finance system, but we believe this is a really dangerous way to try to do it through a constitutional convention just because we don't have any rules on how a convention would work, and the political environment right now, if a convention would be called, would not do anything good around money and politics.
Would you take just a moment and clarify the difference between the convention of the states and what I think we've been talking about, which is a constitutional convention? They are different, right?
Well, they're both called under the same way. So the convention of states is just the name of the group that's pushing for this other proposal, but all of them are calling for a constitutional convention. They're just calling it for different reasons.
Convention of the States is an organization, then, not a method, right?
That's correct. I actually think the Constitution used the terms Article 5 Convention of the States, which is where it can get confusing. But yes, there's a group called Convention of States, and then there's a group called the Balanced Budget Amendment Task Force, and they are both trying to call a constitutional convention for similar reasons, but a little bit different as well.
Jay, I've been asking you questions. Is there something that you want our listeners to know that I haven't gotten around to yet? we've been talking about some of our concerns about it in terms of where it might lead, but let's focus back on some of the issues around just exactly what might happen. You already mentioned the one about some of the state petitions are not identical, right? So is there any way to resolve that? Or would that be enough so that Congress could say, that's not good?
I think what would end up happening if the balanced budget amendment votes or any convention got to 34, I think there would be a lot of talk and lobbying within Congress, whether all 34 of those resolutions really are the same and add up. I think there would be a lot of different legal cases filed in court, which would likely lead to a Supreme Court decision.
You mentioned, Jay Riesenberg, that the movement that is putting it forth are saying that they are united behind a single subject. But should they succeed in calling this convention, is there anything that would or could limit them to that single subject?
Well, our belief is that there's not anything that could or would limit them to stay, you know, if the convention was called on the balanced budget amendment, to stay focused on a balanced budget amendment. And ultimately, they could rewrite whole parts of the Constitution. We've already seen some of their ideas put out there. President Trump talking about changing citizenship laws. We've seen some proposals to change the way U.S. senators are picked, so reversing the 17th Amendment, which gives people the direct ability to vote and pick their senators and giving it back to state legislatures, which clearly is just a partisan grab by Republicans to try to control the U.S. Senate. So there's all kinds of things that they could change. Nothing really limits them to keep the convention focused on what it's originally called for.
Potentially, they could actually do more than one amendment, and then that would go back to Congress. Is that your understanding?
There's a couple of disagreements about what would happen after amendments come out of a constitutional convention. Article 5 lays out a pretty clear case that any amendment that comes out of a convention would need to be ratified by three-fourths of the states, which is 38 states. So it takes more states to ratify amendments than it is to call a convention. Now, one caveat to that is a constitutional convention could try to change that ratification rule and lower the number of states required to ratify amendments to the convention. That's not completely out of the realm of possibility, considering that's how the original constitutional convention in 1789 worked.
Well, I found another Antonin Scalia quote. This is from your website, the Common Cause's website. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, a conservative icon, told the Federalist Society, it says last spring, but I'm guessing it was farther back than last spring since he was dead, that a convention is, quote, a horrible idea. This is not a good century to write a constitution, he said. That's the end of the quote. I just love these Scalia quotes. I never thought I would be quoting him in this way. I mentioned in the introduction that we wanted to open the phone lines to our listeners for their phoned-in questions and comments, and I'd like to do that now. We've covered the balanced budget initiative. Let's talk a little bit more about who is actually behind these different movements, not just limited to the balanced budget amendment.
Sure. Actually, I'm glad you brought that up because it's one of the things that I wanted to make sure we talk about. And there is one main group that is behind this kind of call for a constitutional convention on the right, and that group is called the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, which you may have heard about. And what ALEC is, it's a corporate lobbying group that brings corporate lobbyists and elected legislators behind closed doors to craft model bills that the legislators then bring back to their state. And vast majority of time, those model bills are, in a way, beneficiary to the corporations that sit behind closed doors at ALEC and fund ALEC. ALEC is known for pushing Stand Your Grandmas, which kind of came to light after the killing of Trayvon Martin a few years ago. They're known for their work to push voter ID laws, to attack unions and collective bargaining rights, to deny climate change and go after environmental protection. And they've been really the leading force of blocking Obamacare in the state since it was passed 7 years ago.
We have someone on the air who would like to speak with you.
Great, thank you. I was just wondering, you know, it seems like Article 5 may not be necessarily a bad thing in and of itself. It's the more of a concern from Common Cause is that the wrong people are in charge of the state legislatures, and I'm just wondering if we had a really progressive government, if that wanted to make the Constitution, make the country more democratic, that it might not be a bad thing, and if there's a way to tighten up the language, get some regulation or some language that makes sure the Constitutional Convention is a democratic thing rather than a closed-door corporate takeover, which is what's happening anyway, that it might not be a bad thing to change Article 5. And I don't know if it's, I'm not clear what's being opposed. Is this something that's being proposed? Is this something that could be changed? Or is this in the Constitution and there's a concern that it's there, and how do we get it out? I mean, I don't quite understand what the actionable steps are with this problem. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you so much. That is really a great question or set of questions.
So I think you raised a lot of great points there. And what I will say is Common Cause is a nonpartisan organization, and we are opposed to calls for a constitutional convention coming from Democrats and Republicans. With that said, one of the reasons why we think a constitutional convention being held now is such a bad idea is because there is so much partisan gridlock and partisan gerrymandering that it would be dominated by one party. So I think a number of things would have to happen in order for us at Common Cause to be at all supportive of holding a constitutional convention. One would really have to be a significant shift in American politics where both parties are willing to work with each other and are not so focused on pushing their own special interests. I think we would need a complete overhaul of how we limit the role of special interest in our democracy to stop them from influencing what happens in the Constitutional Convention. And, you know, I think there are needed some constitutional changes on how an Article 5 convention would work. The problem there is it would take a constitutional amendment or multiple amendments to define rules and who gets to be delegates and how applications are counted to the Constitution to really set rules and guidelines on how a convention would work. I certainly don't think that's a bad idea, but, you know, all constitutional amendments are long campaigns and long, big ideas. I'm being realistic in that I think the more immediate action needed now is to stop constitutional convention calls coming in right now, but also to look at those systematic changes that we can make to the Constitution to limit the role an Article 5 convention can have to help us limit what can come out of a convention and how it would work.
Now, I interrupted you, Jay, when you were speaking about other forces behind the push for this. And I also have the question with this whole balanced budget thing and ALEC. ALEC is the impression I have, that's the American Legislative Exchange Committee. They're, as you mentioned, big business. And big business gets mega billion bucks from the federal government. So what do you think their reasoning is behind that?
ALEC has a lot of different donors. And yes, they do have and primarily are funded by big corporations, but they're also getting a lot of money from major conservative donors like the Koch brothers, who really want to limit the role of the federal government and make it smaller and make it less effective for the American people. So I would assume that the ALEC push for a constitutional convention and a balanced budget amendment really isn't being funded or isn't being prioritized by the big corporations in ALEC like ExxonMobil and AT&T and UPS, but instead by big conservative donors like the Koch brothers.
Another organization is Citizens for Self-Governance. John Hancock Committee for the States. Can you tell us anything about them?
Sure. So they are, that's two names they go by, but they are the group that's pushing this Convention of States resolution that's calling for term limits on Congress and judges, fiscal restraints, and limiting federal power. So they're called a couple different names, but they go under the veil of Convention of States. And they are really a dangerous force because they have a lot of money behind them. They actually got started with money from the Mercer family, which if you read the news, you probably heard the name Mercer, and because they were such a big contributor to President Trump's presidential campaign. And so, you know, they really are taking this convention idea and really wanting to rewrite the entire Constitution.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you brought them up. I have an article about them. This is a quote from one of Mark Meckler, a professional Tea Party campaigner for the Convention of the States. Quote, "When we succeed in getting 34 states to pass our legislation, a convention will be called where the states can propose amendments to get the federal government out of our health care system, impose term limits on Congress, balance the budget, mandate nationwide voter ID, take back our education systems, and limit federal power." That's an end of a quote. We only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to give them to you to complete whatever thoughts I interrupted that you had.
I think that quote from Mark Meckler explains it well and what these people really want to do. They want to, he said, take the federal government out of healthcare. That means we're getting rid of Medicaid and Medicare. So any healthcare we give to the elderly people or to the disabled or to the poor. I mean, they want to completely change our federal government, not for the public interest, but for their own special interest and their own extreme ideology. Given how close they are to getting to 34 states, it is a huge, major threat in the United States that not a lot of people know about or are talking about. And so I would encourage you to go to commoncause.org and get involved in your state and help us fight this.
Thank you so much, Jay Riesenberg, for joining us on Forthright Radio today and for getting the word out about this. I'm perplexed why it's not more prominent in the media. It's such a big deal. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And to quote an article that Jay wrote, "This isn't the first time Alec and company has gotten close to a convention or a balanced budget amendment. They came close to calling a convention in the 1980s, and in the 1990s, Congress came one Senate vote away from passing a balanced budget amendment. That congressional mobilization successfully placed political pressure on Bill Clinton to balance the federal government." There you have it from our guest, Jay Riesenberg of Common Cause. Our guest today on Forthright Radio has been Jay Riesenberg, campaigns and state media strategist with Common Cause. And we've been speaking about the push by Tea Party leaders, Alec, and others to require an Article 5 constitutional convention. To find out more, go to commoncause.org. And of course, the views and opinions expressed on Forthright Radio are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KZYX and Z staff, its members, board of directors, or contributors. Forthright Radio is a Beyond the Deep End production broadcast each first and third Wednesday of the month from the Philo Studios of KZYX and Z, Mendocino County Public Broadcasting. Engineer Rich Culbertson. I'm Joy LeClaire. You can contact us by emailing forthrightradio@gmail.com.